save the king.
Hello and welcome back to Pod Save the King. I'm your host, Anne Gripper, and happy Easter to you all. I hope you had some chocolates and better weather than I've had. Well, it's absolutely tipping it down currently, but there's some sunshine in my life because I'm joined by Daily Mirror Royal Editor Russell Myers. Russell, nice to see you. How are you?
I'm very well, and we have kind of swapped roles. I am in the hot seat in the studio, live from Mirror Towers. You are, I was going to say sunnier climes, but unfortunately, but you are on the south coast, on the southwest.
In the Duchy of Cornwall.
Lovely.
Very fine it is as well. There has been some sunshine. We've made it on the beach. We have made some sandcastles. I mean, we were wearing a lot of clothes when we did it, but you know, there we go. And now we are here to chat about all things royal. And I think there's probably some sunshine came into most royal fans' lives this week, seeing the king looking pretty well and very happy to be out seeing people after the Easter service.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this is absolutely positive news. And, you know, sometimes we get a bit frustrated with the palace and they don't like, certain lines or people taking certain topics to task. However, what I thought was really interesting after the king's appearance at Easter Sunday at Winter Castle was that the palace were really quite actively briefing that this is a really positive step and we should take it as such. And the king was really determined to be there. He definitely wanted to show that the monarchy was on a united and stable front. That was totally being repeated in the week before and after. And I think those two elements are really important because, my golly, it's been a bit of a crazy ride over the last few weeks on this since the start of the year, really, when we had the King and the Princess of Wales in hospital. Then we had the King talking about his enlarged prostate, Kate being in hospital for a couple of weeks and coming out. Then obviously all the crazy sort of commentary and conspiracy theories that we've tackled over the last few weeks. And then, of course, King getting cancer and the Princess of Wales discussing her cancer diagnosis as well. So it's been a pretty rough ride for the family overall. And the palace were really saying, yeah, we should take this as a positive signal that the king wanted to be not only leading the family, but then we saw him meeting members of the public and Windsor staff. I'm not too sure who the poor soul was who had to count 56 handshakes, but fair play to them because I wasn't that diligent, to be honest. But I did look at the way that he was interacting with the crowd and sharing a joke with them. Lots of people saying, you know, don't give up, get well soon. And he was saying, you know, I'm trying my best. So, and they met a dog called Camilla, which I think he found absolutely hilarious, which was, sort of another return to royal duties, a return to walkabouts, because we've not really seen them in recent months. Of course, we've had everything that's been going on, but we haven't really seen the typical walkabout of members of the royal family. Fair play to Camilla. She's done a few. She's been out and about in recent weeks. But that traditional element of royal engagements is really important, and no more so an Easter Sunday. So a job well done. We won't be seeing him necessarily rushing back to royal duties. It's going to be a bit of a tiptoeing baby step vibe through the sort of meandering schedule that is on the horizon. However, again, people I've spoken to have said, don't be surprised if you're going to see him step up the schedule a little bit, aim towards the sort of summer engagements. Whether we see Charles and Camilla at the D-Day anniversary commemorations in Normandy in a few weeks remains to be seen. It's definitely, I would imagine, going to be Camilla, whether the King goes, but he's most certainly setting his sights on further afield, where that will be Trooping of the Colour, Royal Ascot garden parties in the summer where everybody can be out and there's, you know, the reduced risk of infection, which is obviously still very paramount at the moment.
Because we knew he was going to be attending the service on Sunday, or certainly that was the expectation and his plan. But the walkabout announcement came, you know, I guess you got tipped off ahead of time, did you?
But not too long. I mean, I think it was a bit of an impromptu decision that he felt happy. He felt that he possibly kind of owed it to the people that are out there. And he didn't go to the reception after the church service, which was in a more enclosed environment. And I think that that's quite significant that he was prepared to go to the scaled down congregation event. We've seen him at these engagements at Buckingham Palace where he's meeting between one and 10 people. I think there was 10 or a dozen faith leaders that he met at Buckingham Palace last week. But it has been a much more scaled down version of events. And that, of course, is on the advice of his doctors. He's undergoing chemotherapy treatment. But saying that, he was out in the open shaking hands. I mean, nobody foresaw that. And I think that that is a real strong indication too. He's receiving the treatment, doing really well with it, felt well enough. I thought he looked a lot better than he did on the Maundy Thursday picture that was put out with his audio message that was read out at Worcester Cathedral last week. He looked a bit, you know, red around the eyes. His lip looked sore. Of course, he's undergoing serious treatment for cancer. And the fact that he looked well rested after the weekend was a really positive sign.
He was clearly in the mood for having a joke about with people, you know, someone telling him, keep going strong, never give in. And he was apparently gave him a little bit of a glance of command. It's like, I just obey my instructions. So wherever the instructions are coming from, it sounds like he's trying to pay attention. Yeah, you mentioned the dog, Camilla, and being confronted by, oh, Camilla's 17 now. It's like 17, 70. Why are you discussing the age of my wife? No, it's a dog. Like, oh, you'll need a new one soon. So 17 is quite a reasonably venerable age for any form of dog. And then, being a bit self-deprecating, and there's all these people turned out to with their little flags and waving, "We come to see the castle." "No, we've come to see you. I'm very touched." It's you know, just those little bits of interaction, and he must have really enjoyed it after having to spend so much time indoors and feel like he can sort of get back to the job. And it must have been really nice for Camilla as well, again, to have her wingman back.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, she's taken on an awful lot. We've discussed over recent weeks, an incredible schedule, 76 years old, at an age where most people are enjoying the fruits of their retirement. And she's, you know, front and centre of the royal family. We've discussed about how this has been a remarkable turnaround, not only for her, I suppose, characterisation from a lot of people, how people perceive her, but she's very well regarded within the institution. I think a lot of the public really appreciate the fact that she's putting herself out there, getting down with the job. And of course, she's had the extra worry. We talk about Prince William and what's on his shoulders in recent weeks, but Camilla has been doing a lot more duty. She's got the king's health to think about. And the fact is, she is the main focal point for the royal family. So no doubt she was overjoyed to have him by her side. And as I say, the mood music is very positive, but very much baby steps. But again, it's something to grab hold of, because it's been a pretty rocky few months, isn't it?
Yeah, so it was Camilla out and about on her own to distribute the Maundy money in the traditional ceremony and service on the Thursday before Easter, and the king had recorded a Maundy message, so he'd read part of the gospel. It's part, you know, obviously Easter, a key part of the Christian calendar, and the royal family and Charles as head of the Church of England being very much a key part of that, but talking about through Jesus, like setting an example of how we should serve and care for each other, and how as a nation we need and benefit greatly from those who extend the hand of friendship to us, especially in a time of need. So I guess referencing obliquely the good wishes that have been sent his way as well. And then we had the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, talking as well at the start of his sermon on Easter Sunday about the King and the Princess of Wales, and how they've talked about the dignity of the way they've talked about their cancer, and lack of selfishness, and by their grace and their faith boosted so many others. So, you know, they've been very much sort of at the heart and the prayers of the Christian community over this Easter period.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, it's all about togetherness, and again, people I've spoken to have said this is the time when the royal family pull together in times of their darkest hours. And that was in relation to the Princess of Wales and the King's coming together, I suppose, and the fact that they've been supporting each other. But by that token, the others are going to need support as well. We're talking about Camilla, the lot weighing on Prince William's shoulders at the moment with his duties, whether he's going to have to take on extra duties. And he's got three young children at home. I just cannot stop thinking about Kate's recording, her statement, her that heartfelt message of how you break that down to three children and what a burden that must be weighing on those two as individuals and as parents and, again, as members of the monarchy and their public-facing roles. And I think that the Easter break will allow them to regroup, hopefully. They've definitely been seen around Norfolk, but we haven't, nobody's bothered them in terms of there's been no media coverage, there's been no people trying to take photographs of them. And they're in a very safe space. When Prince William comes back to work, when the children go back to school, I think that of course, there will present opportunities for him to either say anything about the Princess of Wales, or he may be asked about how she's getting on. Or it was interesting that Camilla said in Shrewsbury, Catherine's thrilled about all the response that she's had since making her announcement. We saw that the NHS and leading cancer charities have really got behind her message and credited her message with a huge surge in searches for information about signs and symptoms of cancer. But it is now the time for rest and recuperation. She said herself she needs time to concentrate on her recovery and she won't be returning until she's able. And I think it will kind of be, there'll be a new schedule after Easter, whether the king comes back, what engagements is William doing, how much is he going to throw himself back into the role, what does the summer look like, are tours for the king and queen still being planned? Certainly Canada isn't going to happen next month, but you're still looking towards that sort of late summer, autumn. Australia happening in October. Will there be other trips that members of the royal family can get involved in? So I think it's a positive note to sort of end Easter on. And while we're wishing them well, it's definitely encouraging to see certain members back into the fold.
There are a few other royals who joined them on Easter Sunday. Did you spot the Earl of Wessex, James?
I did, yes.
Now the Earl of Wessex, did you spot his little bunny, Easter bunny tie that he was wearing?
I did see that, actually, yeah. I did. I saw him and I spotted his tie. I didn't see any pictures of Prince Andrew, but he was there. He arrived in the car and then he probably learned his lesson because there was some pretty uncomfortable headlines for the royal family after he was seen skipping down the track towards St George's Chapel for King Constantine's memorial service. So you never know. This could have been Prince Andrew turning over a new leaf.
Well, certainly he didn't feature in the pictures shared by the royal family. I think Fergie was there as well, wasn't she? But then he had Edward and Sophie, and Sophie was wearing Lady Louise's beret. Props to the people who managed to spot that one. So Lady Louise hasn't made it back the last few years since she's been away at university. And then I think Princess Anne and Tim Lawrence, so absolute stalwarts of the royal family. But maybe it's a good opportunity for that younger generation. They can go spend it Easter with the in-laws without any trouble, because obviously balancing two lots of in-laws is always a bit of a trial. But when one lot of those in-laws is the king, or previously the queen, it's a bit hard to say no to them.
Imagine you don't turn down those invitations, do you? It's so maybe the definitely not one
in-laws
to
getting a bit
ignore.
Of extra family time. So we mentioned Andrew and Fergie. There's been a few, obviously you have had a preview already of the scoop drama, but then there's been various protagonists that have related to it have been coming out talking about their experience of being in the room or dealing with it as well. Like, what have you made of some of the accounts that have come out the last few days?
I mean, I got a preview. I was lucky enough to go ahead. I won't give you any spoilers. There's a lot's been made about
how
Rufus.
How can there be spoilers, Russell? We've seen it.
Well, like, about it, the characterizations and who. I will say Rufus Sewell is absolutely fantastic in his role, Prince Andrew. A lot's been made about his prosthetic bottom. I mean, I did think at the time. I thought, gosh, that's a bit of a, there is a bit of a weird scene. I wish I could give you the timestamp so you possibly could avoid it. But it's Prince Andrew getting out of the bath, drying himself with a prosthetic bottom. Actually, not Prince Andrew, Rufus Sewell.
Mind bleach,
yeah,
please.
That's size. I mean, we need to censor this immediately, editors. But it's enjoyable because everybody's still fascinated about the Prince Andrew story, of course. It probably couldn't have come, there's no good time for this to come out for the royal family, but considering the last few weeks they've had raking over old coals, they will consider perhaps unnecessary. But it's not just this Netflix show. There's the Amazon show with Michael Sheen on the horizon. There's not transmission date for that yet. But again, we are fascinated by it, and it's a huge talking point. It's a huge lesson for the royal family about how on earth they allowed the Duke of York to sit in that chair and not think that he would expose himself to ridicule, condemnation, you name it. It was an absolute disaster, and it's been well covered since 2019. But I think the main thing for them would be to learn lessons. There's plenty of lessons they can have learned over the last few weeks, I suppose, in terms of strategy and the way that they may choose to approach things differently in the future. And that is definitely one lesson that they should take heed of, I suppose.
I enjoyed reading, it was in the Times magazine on Saturday, there was an interview with a photographer called Mark Harrison. So he's a freelancer. So he gets this phone call. It says, "Are you free for a job on Wednesday? What's the job? I can't tell you what the job is." Oh, no, I think it was tomorrow. "Are you free for a job tomorrow? I can't tell you what the job is." "Well, you're going to tell me what the job is." "Well, I can't tell you what the job is. Are you free for it?" Anyway, so it transpires that this job is going to take the still photographs on the day as the recording is happening. And a former colleague of ours and good friend of mine, Stuart McLean, who was the producer on Newsnight, who dealt with that interview, he was sort of quoted as having rung up the photographer and said, "You need to wear a really smart suit and shiny shoes." And I can just imagine Stuart saying that. It's just like this detail, it's like your shoes have got to be shiny. And so they'd gone, and I think it's that classic thing that I'm sure a lot of photographers can sympathize with, that when the main point of it is recording the video, you're slightly an afterthought. And he managed to, you know, put his oar in and say, "No, I need you to walk down that corridor again so that I can take those pictures." And I always find it interesting, those moments when commoners, us lot, have to stand up to the royals, because actually they're there for us in that instance, and they have to be, it's okay to say, "Actually, we need something different. Can you do this instead, please?"
So yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, and they've always become some of the most iconic images of them. It was after the interview had happened, and he's, you know, giving the BBC a tour of the palace, thinking it had gone fantastically well. I think that tells you everything, like, doesn't it?
It's gone rather well.
Because he was in his own environment, he felt so comfortable to essentially spill his guts out to the world and make such fatal errors of judgment. I mean, on the flip side, fantastic for us as the media, as people who our taxpayer money goes to the royal family. I think that this whole scandal was unearthed again because it had already been bubbling under the radar. But the fact that he actually put himself in that position and got us to have a completely new understanding of what he was like as a person, what his relationship with what it was like with Jeffrey Epstein, completely exposed him and exposed the royal family to a new level of scrutiny. And as I say, there will be people poring over this for years to come, I think, both inside and outside the palace.
Yeah, it must have been extraordinary to be in there when it was being recorded, and this photographer Mark Harrison's just talking about how there was, I think it was another cameraman who must have been in his line of sight. And when those moments happened, just catching each other's eyes and sort of raising an eyebrow and thinking, right, that's going to be a headline coming out. So an extraordinary moment of history, and probably not surprising that it's been turned into a Netflix drama. So we're just about done talking with Easter. So we should wrap up our Easter conversation with the answers to our last week's question of the week, which is your favourite moment in the royal diary? And then we'll come on to the rest of the royal chatter just after that. So ultimately, there was one massive winner, which was Trooping the Colour. But Steph did a good job by saying June, Royal Fashion Month, because you get Trooping and you get Ascot. Rabir said Trooping, seeing the whole family, and Royal Ascot, fashion in capital letters. And Melissa and Ashley were both fans of Ascot, with Melissa saying best fashion and hats. Trooping the Colour, too many people to mention who nominated it, but I will just mention Michelle, aka Big Ginger Mama on Instagram, mainly because I love her Instagram handle. But a few of the comments that came in: Jonathan says Trooping the Colour is always mine, grew up in an army family, so military parades always a highlight. Becky says A+ pageantry with a palace backdrop, magic. Casey says the balcony appearance slab is slimmed down under Charles. I mean, it might be a bit slimmer again this year. Goodness knows what we'll see up there. Christy says trooping. We usually get a glimpse of those precious children. Shane enjoys seeing them relaxed and happy on the balcony. And Spencer says everyone out on the balcony and best opportunity for a Louis moment. Eyes emoji and laughing tears emoji. And yeah, if we get a nice Louis moment this summer, I would imagine that would bring a lot of joy to everybody's eyes. Emily said the Christmas speech, perfect way to end the year and look forward to the new one. Well, I have to say, I don't think any of us, when we were listening to Charles's Christmas speech after we'd eaten a load of Christmas turkey back in December, could have imagined the 3 months that would follow. Eva chose Christmas itself. Abigail picked trooping, but she added in the carol concert as well for recent years and a few other mentions for a wedding. I mean, we'd love to have one of those all the time, Barbara, but hopefully before too long, maybe. And Devon says the state opening of Parliament. What's your absolute favourite, Russell?
I agree with June, because trooping's going to be huge. Hopefully we're going to see the King, whether we see Princess of Wales, potentially. We were told that she may pop up at certain events. It wouldn't necessarily signal a return to duties, but that could be an example of such an event. And of course, Royal Ascot is just such fun. Hopefully I'm going to get to go this year because I didn't go last year. Busy.
Maybe Kate could just pop out on the balcony even if she didn't do the whole of
potentially. That's a good shout, potentially.
And people can get a slightly different view of the balcony because Buckingham Palace is opening the balcony room as part of their tours. The East Wing is reopened and you can see the newly restored bits of the palace. And
well, you can. I mean, this is exciting because the resurfacing programme is 7 years deep now, costing an incredible amount of money, about 380 odd million pounds. And it's sort of you presenting the updated version of the East Wing. You're going to get to see the central room where the balcony is off, the picture of so many iconic moments, I suppose, over the last few decades. It's a real treat to be able to go into those rooms. And the Yellow Room is absolutely spectacular as well. It's where the Queen certainly hosted many dignitaries over the years. So if you can get to go to that during the summer, you're probably going to have a better chance of going to that than Balmoral, because they've opened up the doors or the gates to the castle and you're going to be able to see the ballroom and an exhibition of King Charles's watercolours and some incredible outfits worn by the late Queen, Duke of Edinburgh, the King and Queen. And you probably won't get a ticket because I tried to go on yesterday. It's not only sold out, there were 9,000 people in the queue before me. It was like Glastonbury, trying to get multiple laptops, phones, and trying to get tickets. So I might have tried to pull a few favours if I've got any left at the palace, because I'd love to
have
go.
Have they got security on it? Or are they all going to be popping up all over eBay?
Oh, that's interesting. I think you've got to show ID. I imagine so. You've got to show your ID and you've got to be there 20 minutes before to register and all this. And I imagine it's, you can't just turn up with a ticket. You've got to have be
might
in the
look
system,
into that one,
I suppose.
My hot tip for you.
Oh, yeah, go on.
No, that's my hot tip. You can explore it and put it in the newspaper or something.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, we'll see. Tickets out, selling these Balmoral tickets.
Exactly.
Exclusive.
Exactly.
You heard it here first. Pod Save the
King exclusive. Before we've even found out.
So, but it is cool. I mean, I'd love to go. And there's lots of people snapping up those tickets, of course. They're pretty pricey.
£100?
£100 to £150 if you want the cream tea at the end. Woo!
Oh, I think it was afternoon tea, wasn't it? Not just a cream tea. I'd expect more than a scone for 50 quid.
You get a cup of lukewarm tea, maybe, with in a bone china mug.
Zoe was after getting tickets as well, our good friend Zoe Forsey. And it was a thank you to everybody who said how nice it was to have Zoe back the other week. Much as we missed you, Russell, obviously.
Of course,
yes. It was nice to hear from Zoe. But you might want to check whether she's managed to score herself some tickets.
Well, maybe she can be the feature writer for the piece, because I'm being asked lots of questions by people higher pay grades than me. Why haven't you got a ticket? So we shall see if we can snaffle a couple, because it would be great to go. But lots of people on Twitter, because I thought 150 quid, what? That's a lot of money, but lots of people prepared to pay for it. It is like stepping back in time, isn't it? It's where the late Queen passed away, and you get an incredible chance to witness history.
And it's new.
Yeah, well, it's the first time it's been open since 1855, which is really, really interesting, since the castle was finished.
So, what else have you got to look forward to in the summer? Well, so we were talked a couple of weeks ago about Harry's return for the Invictus service, but possibly not as simple as that.
Well, I'm gonna dispel some myths for you, and this is quite interesting.
Mythbuster Russell.
Mythbusters. Excellent. Yeah, we should have a segment called Mythbusters. I'm sure Christ has a new podcast, because there is a lot of misinformation around, and hopefully you join us and we can sort of sort the wheat from the chaff and try and work out what's true and what's not, and give our sort of opinions on what's going on. But there's a lot of people with opinions out there, and there's a lot of people peddling misinformation and such. I saw there's some, you know, authors saying that William and Kate had invited Harry and Meghan and the children to spend some time with them, and Harry and Meghan had decided that they didn't want to come, or they didn't reply. And I'm going to just myth bust this, because that has not happened. The reports about the two brothers coming together or inviting the Sussexes back over to here has simply not happened. And that isn't necessarily a reflection of the fractiousness of their relationship. Of course, that still exists. We all know that. But anyone in their right mind can understand that the royal family, the King and Queen, the Prince and Princess of Wales, have bigger things to worry about at the moment. And that certainly isn't when Harry is going to come back and when he's going to see them. Harry may come back. We know he's going to be here for the St. Paul's Cathedral 10th anniversary commemorations, celebrations for the Invictus Games in May. He said himself on American television, I'm going to be passing through. I'm going to be in the UK. There's going to be plenty of opportunities for me to see my family. Whether that is the opportunity for him to see the King or the Prince and Princess of Wales remains to be seen. We will only know about that when it happens. However, this talk of invitation is baloney, because they have really pressing things on their minds at the moment. The Princess of Wales, obviously undergoing her cancer treatment. Prince William, thinking about all the things to do with his family and his duty and his father and his wife. There is a lot on his plate. And I think there is no point sort of adding to the culture wars in this sense, because this is a family that is going through an awful lot. And they don't really need Harry and Meghan in the mix at the moment. Whether that may happen in the future, they might come over here to be with the family. You never know. Trooping the colour, that could be an occasion. It might be next Christmas. Who knows? But I think what is important is Harry's doing his thing and the rest of them are doing their thing. We may get to see Harry here much more, because the British government are bidding for the 2027 Invictus Games in Birmingham. If that happens, will Harry come over with the children? Will Meghan want to be a part of highlighting such an important event like she has done in the future? All this remains to be seen. But at the moment, it ain't going to happen of them sitting around the dinner table together.
We know also that security is one of Harry's big concerns and sticking points with the family. Have there been sort of, I don't know, wrinkles raised about the fact that people know when he might be coming and what for and where he might be appearing?
Well, that's interesting, because St. Paul's Cathedral announced the date and obviously the location, because they're hosting it, of the 10th anniversary celebrations and the event that Prince Harry is supposed to be speaking at. And could that present a bit of an issue for Prince Harry, because he's spoken about the fact that his security isn't safeguarded, whether he can bring his children or his wife? I still think he'll come. He's still fighting a potential appeal at the High Court with the British government about his security. So I think that it is important for him to try and have that sorted, but also probably more important to put on a show of support for the Invictus Games that he founded and has been a huge, huge beacon of hope for, I suppose, and supporter, because it's his baby and he absolutely wants it to succeed. If it comes back to the UK, then that's a great cause for celebration. That is 3 years away. There will be, of course, the promo events the year before and what have you, but that could signal a period where Harry and Meghan and potentially the children are in the UK a little bit more. So that's quite far ahead. But as you know, things move pretty fast in royal land over the last few years.
Never mind dog years, it's royal years these days. So it's this rapid thing. But we've seen some nice pictures, both of Harry and Meghan, and also video of Meghan this week. So Harry and Meghan joining or sort of co-hosting an event with the Kinsey Collection exhibition at Sophie Stadium at Hollywood Park, which is around the history and significance of Black art and how various communities can work together to preserve this vital piece of American history. So obviously, because it's the Sussexes, there was some hugging going on, which is always, you know, lovely. And that's their style, and some lovely pictures. And I have to say, Meghan's outfit, I did really like it. It was black with some like big floral embroidery bits on it, and but this is a semi boxy jacket. It reminded me a little bit of the Amanda Wakely coat or coatlet. I want to call it a coatlet, the one that Camilla wore for her Barbie doll. This, it was a quite similar sort of boxy type shape. And then seeing Meghan reading the stories at the hospital. What did you think of that?
Oh, the hospital. Yeah. Well, this is interesting as well. Well, I thought it was interesting because it's kind of like a back to basics for Meghan. It's using her acting skills, talking to kids, doing charity work, shining a light on a really important organisation at the Children's Hospital in Los Angeles. Now, it was back in March, and March the 21st it happened, but we didn't hear about it until very recently, last few days, because the Princess of Wales's announcement was on March the 22nd. Now, was that by accident or design? Because Harry and Meghan have been criticised, sometimes fairly, sometimes not, in the past when they've made statements when the royal family are doing important engagements to them, talking about charities or making speeches. And I think that that shows you that potentially that there may have been a little birdie in their ear to say, this is not a good day to put out that kind of news. There was a lot made of whether Harry and Meghan were told ahead of schedule, whether they only found out, whether this was always part of the plan. It's an interesting development, I think, because it had been said that Harry and Meghan weren't told of Kate's announcement ahead of time, that it was very, very close-knit group of people. But the fact that she didn't choose to press the button on her Children's Hospital engagement is quite telling. And I think perhaps does this herald a newfound respect for each other? Can there be some dialogue between Montecito and the palaces here in the UK? One would hope so, because I don't think it serves anyone's purpose, does it, when they're sort of fighting out against each other for relative headlines or column inches or whatever you want to call it. People are doing their thing their way, and they can coexist, but it's when they sort of clash that they become issues.
I saw the hospital visit, it was interesting. I thought it was very, the Rosie Revere engineer story, I thought fitted very much with the sort of Meghan values of girl power, and that being a good story choice. And I really enjoyed seeing them taking the Polaroid pictures as well. We had a Polaroid camera at our wedding, which was great fun. And just, it's, you know, we're all taking pictures on our phones all the time and hardly ever get anything printed out anymore. So seeing things just develop in front of your face, and then giving the kids something to keep as well, I thought that was really nice. But then I was just like, it's such a throwback seeing her wearing a mask. You know, I'm fortunate that I've not really had to be in much of a medical setting for really quite a long time. And, you know, it's 4 years ago that we were in the throes of the first lockdown and all of that chaos. I mean, I found a document that I'd been working on in, I think probably like May 2020, when we were just coming out of the first lockdown, and it was saying like, make a plan for moving the coronavirus newsletter onto something else. And it's still, you know, it was still with us for a long time after that. But that sort of, that mask setting and the level of effort and expression that you put in, I think, whether she was even more performative because she was wearing her mask and she was essentially able to only express through her eyes and her eyebrows, you know, the top half of her face, probably easier for her than some other actors and actresses in Hollywood who've spent rather too long visiting people and getting things put into their faces. She was very expressive, but you know, I just thought it was such a throwback seeing seeing that mask setting.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Looking back at that period of time and kind of having a throwback image almost. But gosh, I mean, you almost half forget about it. And when you're faced with images like that, you think, gosh, that was quite an extraordinary time we all lived through, and hopefully not going back to.
No, hopefully not going back. Well, we're going to go back a little bit, sort of, not really, on the podcast probably next week, because I first interviewed Alexander Lahman at some stage during that crazy lockdown times, 2020-2021, around his first book, which was about the Duke and Duchess of Windsor. And his latest book is Power and Glory, Elizabeth II and the Rebirth of Royalty. So it's kind of concluding his series, looking at that reign of George VI, really. Anyway, so I'm interviewing him next week. So my question of the week is, what would you like me to ask him? So I'll pop it up on Instagram, so let me know. And Russell, is there anything happening next week, or are we in a little bit of a quiet period and you're going to take a little bit of R&R?
I'm going to take a little break for myself and my family and hopefully spend some time with them, because it's been a pretty hectic few weeks. And after the Easter period, we had a busy Easter as well. So yeah, I won't be with you next week. There is nothing in the diary, or there might be. There might be one thing in the diary next week. And
tease.
I can't tell you about it, but there's one thing to look out for. But I think then we're going to get the week after next, Prince William is going to be back in business. That's going to obviously garner quite a lot of attention. We wait and see what engagement that is, whether it's something to do with one of his big projects or whether it's something to do closer to home so he can be back with the family. And no doubt that is his main focus at the moment.
Well, we shall look forward to catching up with you then, Russell, to see what has been going on in all the royal news. And listeners, I look forward to bringing you an interesting interview next week, and in the meantime, until next time.
Pod save the king.